This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. This is your host, Charles Giuliani, once again. Very important guest this evening. We have Trayvon Martin's parents and family attorney, Natalie Jackson. She's here to speak about the George Zimmerman case. Before we get into the details of the case, Ms. Jackson, or is it Mrs. Jackson?
It's just going to matter.
Okay, that's good. That'll work. Natalie.
I'm one of the attorneys. I'm not the only attorney.
You know what? You're sounding a little bit muffled, as though you're over-modulating or something. A minute ago, you sounded fine. Say something again. Uh-oh, now it looks like you cut off.
Hi, Charles. It's Natalie.
Oh, okay, that's much better. Yeah. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, great. I was just saying, before we get into the details of the case, for any listeners not familiar with the George Zimmerman affair, if you could give us a little background on that.
Okay, well, we represent the family of Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin was a 17-year-old young man who was invited to a neighborhood, and neighborhood, he was shot and killed by the neighborhood watch officer, George Zimmerman.
Right, and so you're representing him and his family.
We represent his family, yes.
Right, right. And I'm trying to remember now, how long ago was this?
This was February 28th, 2012.
Okay, just, just a little over a year ago. Yeah, I remember it was really big in the news. So, what's been happening recently in the case? I mean, obviously, you're at some liberty to discuss it, or you wouldn't be on the show. I know a lot of times lawyers are very limited, you know, in what can and can't be said.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the first thing to tell your listeners in full disclosure is that we represent the family. We're not a part of the criminal case. The criminal case is the state of Florida versus George Zimmerman. So in representing the family, we advocate for their interest. So we got involved because in the beginning there was no arrest in the case against George Zimmerman. So we facilitated the family in finding information about why there was no arrest.
Right, right. So, wow, this is quite a travesty. What can you tell us about the... you know, the perpetrator, what kind of motive would drive such a heinous crime?
Well, we don't know a motive. Once again, this was what we have is just information that's out in the public. If the public's interested, they can pretty much Google everything because all the facts of the case, they've been pretty much released by the state attorney's office and by the defense team, which is representing George Zimmerman. So, as far as motive, I can't speak to the motive as far as the criminal case or as far as what George Zimmerman was thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess nobody can. Nobody can, you know, can guess at that. I mean, it's just the criminal mindset. He currently is in custody in California.
No. This case is in Florida, and he's not in custody. He's out of custody. He's out on bond awaiting trial. The trial is scheduled to begin on June 10th.
Okay. Wow. I thought for some reason he himself was from California, but no, he's also from Florida.
I don't know exactly where he's from, but the crime happened in Florida, in Sanford,
right.
Florida.
Right, right. So he is out on, on bail or whatever?
He's out on bond, yes.
Yeah. Wow. And so the case is coming up, and let's hope that there's going to be some justice served here. You know, how are you feeling?
Well, I guess when you said, yeah, when we talk about justice, there were protests in this case. The protests were because George Zimmerman was not arrested. So here you have a teenage boy walking home, and the only thing that he has in his possession, he's unarmed, he has Skittles and a can of iced tea, and he was shot and killed by a neighborhood watch officer. Now, George Zimmerman, he claimed self-defense, but the Sanford Police Department did not arrest him. And they said they could not arrest him under a law called Stand Your Ground. So there were protests that protesters and there were supporters of the family that could not understand why George Zimmerman was not arrested. Not because they felt he did not have a self-defense claim. Anyone is allowed to go and plead self-defense in a court of law. But in this case, he was never arrested. Sanford Police Department didn't even arrest him to go and plea his self-defense claim in a court of law. So there are protests that there were protesters who thought there was enough evidence to arrest George Zimmerman for at least to be tried on the crime of killing Trayvon Martin, unjustifiably killing Trayvon Martin. So when we talk about justice in this case, justice isn't about an outcome of the case. Justice was just an equal and fair process for both Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. Right. So now that George Zimmerman and his attorney, they waived their right to be able to use pretrial, the Stand Your Ground law, and they're going to trial with a self-defense defense. So at that point, that is what the protesters want. Now we have an equal and fair result. So, you know, so far in the process, that the processes have been equal and fair. Because really, that's what justice is. It's an equal and fair process for both parties, for the victim and the defendant.
You know, on what basis can Zimmerman claim self-defense, though, when clearly he was armed and, you know, Trayvon wasn't, correct? Trayvon?
Yes, and I don't know, because, of course, the defense, they don't have to let us know their strategies prior to trial, and it's up to the state to prove that he was not justified in this killing. We know that he killed Trayvon Martin, so the fact that he committed a homicide, we already know that. Now, whether or not he was justified in committing this homicide, that is what the state has to prove, that he was not justified.
Right.
And, of course, he's raising his justification as he was defending himself.
Now, are charges being brought against, you know, the local police as well for not arresting him in the first place, or is this just a case involving him?
No, this is just a case involving the state of Florida versus George Zimmerman. So how this case is proceeding now is just like any normal criminal case. So you have a prosecutor who's bringing a case against a criminal defendant. And this is how the case should have proceeded in the beginning. So now it's back on the right track where George Zimmerman will go to trial. He will be in front of a jury of his peers. The prosecutor will, he can, you know, the jury will have to presume him innocent until the prosecutor can prove that he's guilty. And the prosecutor will put forth the evidence against him. And then the jury will decide.
My. Yeah, I think I remember seeing a reenactment of this. It happened right in his apartment complex, wasn't it?
It was in the apartment complex. It was in an apartment complex where George Zimmerman was a renter and where Trayvon Martin was an invitee. He was invited there by his father's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who was a renter also in the complex.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting and a surprise to you as well, obviously, as to how he's going to spin this to be self-defense.
Well, yes, of course, the parents' position is that this is not self-defense, considering that their son was unarmed and he was walking home from the store.
Right. Are there any witnesses at all, or at least ear witnesses, if not eyewitnesses, to what transpired?
There are witnesses. There, from what we understand, I am not sure, because remember, the prosecution is, they're the ones that are prosecuting this case. So we, as the lawyers for the family, we're not getting any insight. We get information as the public gets the information, so we don't get any special insight into the prosecutor's case or the defense's case. So we pretty much hear what everyone else hears in the media.
Wow.
As far as witnesses, we've heard from witnesses, and we've heard from witnesses that do not know how the beginning of what happened. There is a Trayvon Martin was on the telephone when this whole event occurred. He was on the telephone, and his phone, according to phone records, was disconnected at 7:16 p.m. He died at 7:17 p.m.
Huh.
And that's according to police records of when they got onto the scene.
Right, right. Something very strange there as well. Oh, boy. Does he claim to have any witnesses, you know, in his defense, Zimmerman?
I once again, we don't have any special knowledge to their defense.
Yeah,
but you can imagine if you were a criminal defendant and you were defending a case and your lawyer was defending a case, they probably would hold a card pretty close to their vest.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have any special information on what the defense has. There were audio tapes that your listeners can go online and they can hear these tapes. They've been released to the public. And there were 911 tapes and a non-emergency phone call made by George Zimmerman himself.
After the fact?
No. Before.
Oh,
George Zimmerman
really?
called a non-emergency line to report Trayvon Martin in the neighborhood.
Now, those I haven't heard, actually. Could you elaborate at all on, you know, what is he, you know, indicating he felt
on one of the calls, you can hear him say on the non-emergency call to the operator, he's talking to the operator and he reports he reports Trayvon Martin as someone suspicious in the neighborhood. And of course, I'm paraphrasing the conversation. I don't know it verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
But on that call, you can hear George Zimmerman as a 911 operator, as the non-emergency call operator, because he didn't call 911. He called a non-emergency number that Neighborhood Watch is given to call in when they see suspicious people. On this call, you can hear George Zimmerman say something to the effect of these a-holes always get away, as he's reporting to the non-emergency operator.
Yeah.
And you hear the operator, you know, you can hear the operator speaking to him and pretty much telling him that, you know, just do his duty and just observe. And you hear George Zimmerman say something to the effect that Trayvon Martin is running away.
Well, that's not going to help his case.
Yes. No, and that we don't think it will either.
And especially the fact that this is a non-emergency number.
Right. It's a number that is given to them, to Neighborhood Watch people, to call when they spot something. And the key to this is that the Neighborhood Watch program is a watch program. It is not a get out and investigate for yourself program. And,
right.
And the reason they have that is to protect the Neighborhood Watch officers so that they stay in there so that they don't get hurt.
Right. But again.
And also George Zimmerman, he had a concealed weapons license and he carried his gun with him, which is also against Neighborhood Watch rules. You're not allowed to have weapons when you're patrolling.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't, it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to, you know, twist this into self-defense. I mean, this whole thing just reeks. It wasn't an emergency. He indicates that Trayvon is running away. How does that become self-defense? I mean, how, and do you know the time frame for this? How long before the actual killing was the call?
I don't know exactly. It was a very short time frame, though, within minutes.
Within 10 minutes?
A very short time frame.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I can't tell you that. But like I said,
well, this information, will it be available for the trial?
It's already available, yes, sir. And it will be available for the trial because I know that every major media outlet will be carrying the trial live.
Yeah.
And because we're so close to the trial, we are very hesitant to give, you know, very many interviews. So yours probably will be one of the last interviews. And the reason is because we want this to be a fair process, and we want it to be a fair trial for George Zimmerman. So at this point, you know, we feel that any information that is kind of talked about outside of a jury, before a jury is selected, may taint a jury pool. So at this point, you know, we are hoping that a jury will obey the judge's instructions that they will get. And usually juries do. They obey a judge's instruction to presume Judge George Zimmerman innocent and to proven guilty.
Yeah. I'm sure you already thought of this, but if you can nail down the exact time that he made that call indicating that Traven was running away, and then nail down the time he was killed, I mean, if that was within a minute or two, I mean, to me, that's over right there. How do you go from running away to suddenly now he's a threat?
That has been our position. That, you know, he's running away from you. It's probably of you.
Right. To know what had transpired, in that period of time, that in the interim. But, so I'm sure you've been all around the neighborhood asking. You haven't really found anybody who could say solidly that, that they saw any of what had played out?
Well, I'll tell you that we got in one case. It was the Stanford police that did not represent Zimmerman. The parents called that they were concerned. You can imagine they had a teenager that was dead.
You know, hold on. I'm sorry, Natalie. Hold on one second. Your sound seems to be breaking up, and sometimes if you just... hold off for 1 second. It'll like catch up and it'll clear. Try that again.
I was saying that we involved in the case was that.
Yeah, it's still breaking up. Yeah, try to back away from the phone. Maybe I think you might be too close.
Okay.
Try that. Try again.
I don't have it on speaker. Should I put it on speaker?
No. I think what you're doing now is fine. It sounds a lot better just to be away from, if you're right on top of the phone's microphone, I think that was causing it to skip.
Okay. So should I proceed?
Yeah, sure. You're sounding good now. Yep.
Okay. All right. I would say the way that we got involved was because the police department did not arrest George Zimmerman. I can imagine Trayvon Martin has been very distraught that the killer of their son was not arrested.
Yeah, it's still... sorry, Natalie. Back at the studio, what was that? Yeah, okay. Maybe if you move closer to... Are you on a cordless or a cell?
I'm a cell.
You're on a cell.
How's this?
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you might be on a cell. I would just, keep maybe away from the mouthpiece and make sure that you have full strength, and we're good to go.
Okay.
Yeah. The further away, I guess, from the mouthpiece. What's that?
My call says full strength.
Yeah, I can't figure out why else we would be doing that. Yeah, just, again, try to keep it, not 2 feet away, but, maybe 6 inches or something.
Another line. We'll put her on a Comcast line. That might even out her cell phone because it deadens the line. I'm going to phone your guest right back, Charlie.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, we're going to phone you right back, Natalie. Hold tight on a different line. That should correct the problem here. Sorry, folks. Just hold tight for one moment here. When you do live radio, you got to expect these kind of problems here. Technology isn't always cooperative. It does work well for the most part, but every once in a while you get these little glitches here. So just hang tight.
Okay,
I think we got it here.
Is this better?
Oh, much better. Yeah. I don't hear any breaking up there. Very good. Now, the next question. Where were we? I forgot what I had asked you now.
Well, I was giving you a little history of the case of why we got involved. Talk about whether or not we went in search for witnesses. We got involved because the parents called us, and they were wondering why the killer of their son was not arrested. at that time, we didn't have any answers for them. We did at some point find out that there were audio tapes that of 911 calls and of George Zimmerman's call to police that right prior, immediately prior to Trayvon Martin's death. So our job was to get involved and let the parents know that there were audio tapes. However, the Sanford Police Department would not let the parents hear the audio tapes. We had heard some of the things that were on the audio tapes just from rumors and gossip, but we didn't really know. When we got involved, we filed a lawsuit to release the 911 tapes under Florida public record law. They were released, and once upon release, the media got a copy of them, and they heard George Zimmerman say the words, "These a-holes always get away," and that Trayvon Martin was running, and he was following him. So yeah. From that moment, most people, I think, and protesters and supporters of the Martin family to arrest George Zimmerman, they thought, okay, well, that's enough to arrest him and make him go to trial. So at that point, that was really our purpose, is to, help to show that there was enough evidence to arrest George Zimmerman and to ensure that he goes to a trial before a jury of his peers.
Sure.
So as far as investigation, there was no real investigation that we did. At that point, the Justice Department got involved, the FBI, the state of Florida, and they began an investigation of the investigation, I believe, that the Sanford Police Department did.
So when the bond, bail, whatever, was paid, who was holding him at that time? Just the local police?
When he was he was actually bonded out twice. So the first time that he was arrested, he was bonded out. He was just arrested by the, I believe it was Seminole County. And then The second time, his bond was revoked because there was some issues about his credibility and his wife's credibility at the bond hearing concerning how much money they had collected in a defense fund. His wife actually was charged with perjury, and his bond was revoked and raised, and he bonded out again on the higher bond.
No kidding. I mean, that's very damning right there, too. Perjury related to...
I think it'll be something that a jury will consider, yes. If it's allowed into evidence.
And, yeah, that's the thing. I don't see how they couldn't allow that. I mean, that's significant. And the perjury, of course, was related to the manner in which funds were collected.
Right. George Zimmerman and his family started a defense fund. And to qualify for bonds, you have to tell how much money you have and how much property you have so that they can give you a reasonable bond based on the amount that you will be able to pay. And there was some talk at the bond hearing about him not having any money, so he was given a lower bond, and they find out that there was money in a defense fund that was under his control.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
Why the judge revoked the bond and raised it.
That better be allowed into, admissible in court. That's a very significant point right there. Wow. Anyway, we have some callers. Did you want to go to a call at this time? Or?
Sure.
Okay, we got Rock on line two. Are you there, Rock?
Hi, Charles. I've been in.
Glad to have you. Now, your voice seems to be breaking up. Maybe if you could back away from your phone a little bit.
yeah, I'm back in. How is it now?
That's a little better, yeah.
To get away from the computer, that might also help.
Sure, having phone trouble tonight, sorry.
Okay. Well, what I wanted, I think we're getting some backlash because I'm listening to you on the internet also.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
In reference to the case, I see a lot of things that are going to probably be hidden out. They will be hidden out of the media. Of course, the media is going to try to play it as Zimmerman being the innocent guy because it's a crime of a Zionist against a black, and they're not going to let the Zionists go down. You know.
Okay, I won't talk about any Zionist or any racial components into a question. I think that is a racist question that you're asking.
Yeah. Well, since you brought that up, I was curious to ask one quick question along that line, though. Did he ever try to play the race card, like, you know, this is anti-Semitic or anything? Do you know if he ever did try that angle?
I never did see that.
Okay. I was just curious if he tried to.
Okay. That's
good. Anyway, yeah.
Well, on the other hand, let's go back to the case and.
I'm sorry, I won't entertain that question.
Yeah, did you have anything else?
We're not going with that question. I don't blame you for not entertaining it. How about we move on now? First of all, in any case of a neighborhood watch, nobody should be carrying a weapon. Anyways, it's a watch program. You're not an armed guard.
Yeah,
you're not anything
that. Yeah.
of that nature. That's one. Two, if Trayvon Martin was running away, then he must have ran after him to catch up with him. So basically, to me, it sounds like he hunted him down and stalked him down and murdered him. And that's my observation of the entire story from the beginning.
Yeah, certainly appears that way. All right, caller, thanks for the questions.
Thank you, Charles.
Let's go to, we got Tara next on the line. Are you there, Tara?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Not bad. Glad to have you on. What did you want to ask our guest?
Thank you for having me. I just wanted to say, during the case, I hope this is brought up because it's just really, to me, and I hope a lot of people, a no-brainer. Why did he call 911 before he shot Trayvon instead of after? You know, you would think if you were being attacked or if you were in fear for your life, you would shoot or protect yourself and then call 911. So I was just wondering if that, you know, tactic, that question will be asked or something to that extent.
I believe that the state attorney will ask that question during the trial. I think it's a valid question, and I think it's a question that, you know, they will have to answer, that a jury will have to answer.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, it's so nice to talk to you and to learn a lot more about this case. You know, you've said some things that I've not heard, and I'm so happy, you know, that you're on the show talking about it. And I wish the family luck, and thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you
very
much.
Have a good night, and I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Tara, for the call. Yeah, we can only hope that, you know, justice is going to be served in this case. This is quite a travesty. Let's see. We've got about 2 minutes before we take a break. Did you want to say anything pertinent in the next 2 minutes, Natalie? And then when we come back, I got some more questions that are coming in via text.
No, I don't have anything. I'll just wait for the next question.
Okay, well, since we got 2 minutes, or about a minute now, why don't I just throw one at you, and then we can take these others when we come back. Someone asked if you could discuss the family settlement with the Homeowners Association.
I wasn't involved in the settlement, so I don't have any information with that. That would be Attorney Benjamin Kropp.
Okay, all right then. So, yeah, why don't we, at that point, we're just about at the break time, why don't we take that break now? And then when we come back, we'll have some more questions for our guests. Stick with us, folks.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And like millions of other responsible Americans, I smoke pot. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. and it's none of the government's business. Let's get the government out of our private lives once and for all and stop arresting smokers. Let's take a stand for personal freedom. To learn how you can help, go to normal.org.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBSRadio.com.
Hello, this is Cindy Sheehan. America's war on terror has become a war of terror, with endless drone bombings, continuing military occupation, as well as detention, rendition, and torture still being practiced under the current administration. I lost my precious son Casey to war, and now work towards a day when not one more mother, son, or daughter will suffer such a loss. Listen to my podcast, read my blog, and come join me at any activities I attend near you. Please visit CindySheehanSoapbox.com for more information, and let's work for peace together.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Once again, our guest is attorney Natalie Jackson. She's representing Trayvon Martin's parents and family in the tragic George Zimmerman case, the murder that took place last year in Florida. We've got several more questions via text, but we also have someone else on the line, so I guess we'll go to them first. This individual goes by the name of Hot to Speak from Texas on line two. Are you there, Hot to Speak?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome.
Hello, everyone. I need to ask a question. I noticed you mentioned about the police call that the parents wanted to go and hear them, but they could not. Can you explain why they couldn't and you had to sue and they released it?
The Sanford Police Department said that they were still in a current investigation and that those tapes would be protected by their investigation procedures, and they could not let the parents hear it.
How long did it take for the investigation to end for you to get the tapes?
The investigation officially, we don't know when it ended. According to the father, he said that Tracy Martin, he said that the Sanford Police Department told him that they could not arrest George Zimmerman because there just was not enough evidence. So he was on the assumption that the case was closed at that point. Once we got involved in the case, it was about 2 weeks after the shooting when we filed a lawsuit. The day we filed the lawsuit, the tapes were released, I believe that night or shortly after.
I also have another one. It's a good one. Why did it take the police department to notify the father of the son's death? Were they hiding something there? And also, was that being used in the trial, too? How long?
I'm sorry, ma'am. Could you repeat that?
Okay, I want to know. How long did it take? Why did it take so long for the family to be notified, especially the father, that his son was dead? And also, will
it
that
was
be
the
used
next
in the
morning.
Trial?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. He was notified
night.
That morning when he made a missing persons report into the police station.
So he had to do that. And did they have his phone, too? Is that true?
Yes, they had Trayvon Martin's phone. However, they said that they could not get into the phone because it was dead.
Okay, well, thank you very
apparently
much.
They said that the battery had died, and then when they tried to charge it, it had a code that they could not get past.
Mm. Oh, interesting. They didn't call the telephone company to release it, since they were the police department. You know, they can do that, too, very quickly.
Yeah.
Yes, they never indicated that they did.
That's very strange.
I have a question. Here's another good one. While he was on the phone, as you mentioned, did they hear Zimmerman in the background or anything that was taking place after the phone was unlocked?
The young lady who was on the phone with him, she's also a teenager. She is a witness in this case, and she indicated that she did hear a struggle.
Now, here's another one. Based on the telephone, after they unlocked the phone, which they probably did, what was anything recorded from the telephone company of any communication with Zimmerman and this young man?
We don't know that information. That's information that has been protected from the public. That is some of the information that has not been released yet. It probably won't be released until trial.
Okay, so they probably have a recording because they record all calls, believe me. All right, well,
are you talking about Zimmerman's calls? I'm sorry, are you talking about Mr. Zimmerman's calls? Okay.
Thank you very much, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Ma'am.
I think she was, yeah.
If she's talking about Mr. Zimmerman's calls, they do have all of his calls that he made to the non-emergency line.
Well, I understand about that, but I was speaking about since his phone was locked, which you did indicate, I'm pretty sure it has been locked for the investigation. So I'm pretty sure the state has that information.
On Trayvon Martin's phone, ma'am?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. They
that
do have the information on his, and also the defense would have the information. However, that information has not been disclosed to the public, so we don't know what's on that.
One more question is, will Zimmerman be asked, if you were the attorney representing Trayvon, will you ask, has he had any problem with any other minorities in the community? Also, I wanted to know this, too, another part, too. Did Zimmerman follow the young man to the girls to the market, which we do have a videotape of him there? Will that be asked in the trial? I would definitely ask for it.
Well, it would depend, because remember, in a criminal trial, the defendant does not have to take the stand.
That's true.
So it would depend on how, you know. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
He's not required to take the stand. Now, it is very hard to do a self-defense claim without taking the stand, but he's not required to take the stand under our law.
Do you also feel that the police department was probably protecting Zimmerman because they knew him and also the stature of his
body? Well, you know, that was my next question. There's a lot of strange things here that seem to indicate that he may, in fact, be well-connected. Do you get that impression yourself, Natalie?
Yes, my first impression, just personally, I believe that these were just his friends, and so they treated him like a friend would treat. They believed his story and, you know, took his word for everything.
Do you know his parents at all? Are they well connected in town? You know, are they affluent and so forth?
I do not know his parents. I do know that his father, that they're from Virginia, and his father was a judicial magistrate in Virginia.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they have any connection to Florida.
I have a question. Can you, as an attorney, are you still there? As you as an attorney,
yes, I'm here.
Can you give slip questions to the state rep of who's representing the case for the Trayvon, a pertinent question that they may not have or thinking that they might not ask, but you can ask? Can you give that to them?
Well, I think with any attorney who's trying a case, their own strategies and their own techniques are, you know, many times there's a delicate balance to impeding on someone else's strategy and techniques. So I believe that the state will try this case. They believe in their case. They would not have charged it as a murder 2 case if they did not believe they had the evidence to prove this case. So we pretty much stay out of what they're doing.
Okay. So, but during the trial, just what if you're listening and you're like, wait a minute, I need to ask some questions. Will you be able to do that? That's what I'm asking.
I think
just what if?
In Florida, victims, and in this case, under Florida law, Trayvon's parents would be considered victims in this case. They have rights as far as trials, criminal trials go. So I think that as their advocates and as their attorneys, we could ask those questions if we saw. But we have full confidence in the state attorney and the way that they're trying this case.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. I have a problem. Oh, wait a minute. Now you said full confidence. Oh, that's too big for me. Okay. So just a suggestion.
Okay. Let me have confidence. Yes, ma'am. I understand.
Girl, I'm listening, honey. Listen, girl. Don't go there. I like that laugh you're doing. Oh, wait a minute. Hold up. Just what is?
I understand exactly what you were saying.
Listen, ma'am.
I am a criminal defense attorney. I started out as a criminal defense attorney, so I understand where you are going with that. And once again, we are here to ensure that the entire process is fair for Trayvon and fair for George Zimmerman.
Okay, yeah, all I want to know, all I'm suggesting, I have your notepad and make sure those questions are ready.
Yeah.
We always take a notepad to court. Trust that.
I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks
a lot. I'll have to speak. Yeah, very good questions. Very good questions. Yeah, I'm sure you've got this all thought out, and you're going to have this all ready to go. It's a lot. There's a lot of things to consider, and you know, saying the right thing at the right time in the right way. It's a lot of pressure.
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to some of the questions we have in text here. I've got Ed in Canada. He asks, does Florida have an anti-stalking law? And if so, would that not negate or reverse the Stand Your Ground law?
Florida does have an anti-stalking law. It is not a part of this case. This case, George Zimmerman was charged with murder too, which is what murder two is in Florida. It's the killing of someone, but it doesn't have the premeditated as a murder one. You don't have to premeditate. You just have to do it willingly, wantingly, or depravedly.
Mm. The judge in the case, is he, you know, from the immediate area?
It's a female judge. Her name is Judge Nelson. She's the second judge on this case. Judge Lester was the original judge. He was a male judge. He was disqualified from the case. They filed, the Zimmerman defense lawyers filed a motion to disqualify him as not being impartial. And they got him disqualified. And now the judge on this case, her name is Judge Deborah Nelson. She's been the judge. And she's been very efficient in moving this case along. She doesn't really...
Great. Take
anything in her courtroom. She controls her courtroom.
Good. So you don't suspect any chance of nepotism, throwing out key pieces of evidence or whatnot?
No. I from what we've seen of Judge Nelson, she's had a fair but strong hand in her courtroom.
Great. Yeah, that's very important. I'm glad you mentioned they threw the other one out because, boy, if you start out on that kind of foot from the start, you're in trouble.
Yes.
And there have been cases.
That's a bond hearing.
Yeah. There have been cases like that, too, unfortunately, all too often. Anyway, we have another one here. Mary in Ohio, she asks, will there be a civil family lawsuit against Zimmerman?
That is, we have not ruled out that option. Under Florida Stand Your Ground law, it precludes a lawsuit against one of the interpretations has been that it precludes a lawsuit against someone who has been victorious on the Florida Stand Your Ground defense. However, in this case, last month, Zimmerman and his attorney, they waived their right to a pretrial Stand Your Ground hearing. So they said that they were not going to go forth with the hearing and they were just going to go to trial. What that would have done, if they would have won that pretrial immunity hearing, which is a Stand Your Ground hearing, they would have been immune from having to go to trial. But they waived that right.
Right. Okay. I'm just curious. Is this your highest profile case to date? Have you had any other cases that you've dealt with that have been, you know, this much in the public eye?
I think this is the highest profile case just because it's a national and international case. We get calls from South America, from Europe.
Really?
Yes. So it's the first one that I believe has gained international interest.
No kidding. Wow. Wow. I didn't realize that it was getting international attention. Let's see. We've got... We got Mary in Texas. She asks, did Zimmerman follow Traven to the store?
We don't know that. There are some who guess that he did and some who guess that he doesn't, but we don't have any proof either way.
Yeah. That's probably something, again, that might come up, and who knows if you're going to get the real story anyway.
I think experts will have opinions on that during the trial. So anyone interested in filling in those gaps, you know, they'll want to watch the trial. because I believe that there'll be a lot of, well, not a lot, but there'll be information shared to answer some of the people's questions.
Hopefully there'll be some people coming forward that saw or heard something that can help out with this. And then the second part to this question, something that was already asked, but I wanted to return to this. Why wasn't the family notified of Traven's death immediately? That's a very significant point. Not until the next morning, you said.
Well, that has always been one of the difficulties that we've had with Sanford Police Department, is the fact that they even assumed that Trayvon did not belong in that neighborhood. And we know that because they did not canvass the neighborhood to see if he lived there.
Yeah, that's just incredibly disturbing. Do you have any theory on that, or maybe you'd rather not say at this point?
I don't have a theory on it. You know, I have opinions that are guesses like everyone else's. So
yeah.
We'll try to look at the evidence and that, you know, the objective evidence in this case. But,
sure.
You know, I think that at some point people can put two and two together. And that's the good thing about this case, is that there's so much information out there where I think, you know, people can use their common sense and just put two and two together as far as what they think happened in this case. Because prior to George Zimmerman getting an attorney, he gave many interviews to the police, and, you know, there's a lot of his own statements that are out there.
Yeah. And, of course, I'm sure you've been gathering all of that up and putting it together. Have you seen any major inconsistencies? You don't have to share them if you don't feel, you know.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I can bet. Yeah. And these are things you have fully documented, stuff he said, like what, on TV and whatnot?
Well, he has said things on TV, but once again, he's given at least four statements to the police.
And they conflict.
And that's not including, that's not including his own call that he made to the non-emergency line when he spotted Trayvon before he shot and killed him. So,
yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things that there's a lot of information and evidence that I believe the state attorney will be using in the trial.
Yeah. And but you said that these statements are conflicting.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say you got a very damning case against them. you know, it doesn't look good.
We feel strongly that he was not justified in killing Trayvon Martin. But once again, it'll be up to a jury, and we will respect what a jury says. We believe that once the jury hears all the information and they hear the facts and they hear George Zimmerman's own words, that they will come to that conclusion.
Right. So you do plan, and I don't see how they could not admit this in court, you do plan to play some of these statements or read them to the courtroom?
It wouldn't. Once again, it's not us that is trying him. It's the state of Florida, the prosecutors.
Well,
and
right,
yes, prosecutors they have indicated that they will be using his statement.
Okay, good.
Against him in court.
Right. Yeah. I don't, no matter what kind of spin he tries to put on this, I don't see how in the world he could ever weasel his way around, you know, with so many damning pieces of evidence like this. You know, it should be a done deal. What was the date again of the trial?
The date is June 10th. Now, there is today, there was some information that came out in the news today where the state released their reports from their audio experts. There was a 911 call. A lady who called into 911 when she heard screams, and you hear screams and you hear calls for help in the background. And the state released their expert report on those, on who they believe those screams came from. And after the defense got the information about the expert's report, they indicated that they would contest the expert report and ask for a continuance.
Wow. So this is, we're coming down to the wire here, just a few weeks away. We'll have to keep posted here, and maybe we can have you back and give us an update at some point after the trial.
Sure, thank you.
Sure, thank you for joining us, and good luck to you. Keep up the good work. This is a very important
landmark
trial. Yes, indeed. Okay, folks, that's all the time for this week. Join us next week. We're going to be blessed with the presence of Professor Noam Chomsky as well as Professor James Tracy. So that should make for a great show. We'll catch you then. Until then, have a great week. Take care.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and